Bibles, if you open please to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. We'll begin reading at verse 18. That's where we'll begin this morning, though we're going to look at several other passages. We'll begin at the first of the New Testament and work our way toward the back, beginning at Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus also called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. There is nothing you could do in the world that could cause God to love you more than he already loves you. And you know, the other side of that coin is there is nothing you could do in this world to cause God to love you any less than he loves you. He loves you right where you are. But he loves you too much to leave you there. It is his desire that we might grow to look like Jesus. And if you'll let him, if you'll allow him, he'll begin to put a little pressure here and a little squeeze there and a little forming and shaping here, like one working with clay. And he'll begin to shape you and mold you and move you until one day there'll be a family likeness in you. And you'll look more like Jesus than you ever dreamed possible. I wish you could see this up close. This is a big room, and I know that you can't see it very well, but trust me, this is one ugly piece of furniture. My bride brought this home after going to garage sales one Saturday morning. And when she came in, I responded by shaking my head and saying, "Marcia, what in the world are you going to bring home next?" I saw it as a piece of junk. But there's a little bit of carpenter in her. And what she sees in that is very different from what I see. And in a few days, she'll take this piece of furniture and she'll start to work with it. She'll strip all of the old paint off and she'll sand the gouges and the scrapes off. When she gets it down to where you can see the beauty of the grain of the wood, she'll stain it a beautiful cherry red. And she already has fabric that she's got in mind that she's going to reupholster the top of it. And my guess is when it's done, it's going to be a beautiful piece of furniture. She redeemed this from the junk heap and will make out of it something that we'll probably be proud of. And I'll have to eat crow in front of the whole church. You know, there was another carpenter who was walking along a beach one day and came upon a couple of guys that he'd already encountered in life. Their names were Peter and Andrew. And he said to these two guys, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now, remember, the carpenter is still in his workshop. Because he says to these two guys, "I will make you into fishers of men." And of all things, they dropped their nets and followed him. They dropped their identifying mark, the net, because they were fishermen. It was the tool of their trade. It was their lifestyle. And the Bible says they dropped them and followed him immediately. And the three of them walk a little further, and they come upon James and John in the boat with their father Zebedee. And the Bible indicates that he probably gave them the same calling. You come and I'll make you into fishers of men. They'd been fishers of fish all their lives. And the Bible says they left everything. Boat, father, lifestyle. They left it all and followed him. The carpenter in his shop, remaking men to be like him. You know what, folks? That is exactly what he desires of you and me. God wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to have the mind of Christ and to think like Jesus thought. To have the eyes of Christ and to see what Jesus saw as he walked through this world. To have the ears of Christ and hear the voice of the Father above all the voices of the world that are calling out to us every single day. To have the mouth of Christ to speak the truth in love as Jesus spoke it. To have the shoulders of Christ and to shoulder a cross and follow him. To have the legs of Christ to finish strong as Jesus finished the work the Father had sent him to do. For he said as he hung on the cross, "It is finished." To have the knees of Christ, to get down on our knees and wash the feet of one another like Jesus did with his disciples. To have the hands of Christ to serve people as Jesus served. To have the feet of Jesus to walk where Jesus walked, to walk in his steps, as it were. This morning, I begin a brand new series I'm entitling To Be Like Him, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Jesus in hopes that after having looked at him for many weeks and submitting to his leadership in our lives, he might remake us. He might make us new and different. We carry pictures in our wallets and in our purses of people that we love. Sometimes it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend. One of the early service carried a picture of a puppy. Sometimes it's a mate. Sometimes it's children. Sometimes it's grandchildren. And all you have to do is ask, do you have any pictures? And, you know, out they come. And what those pictures are images of people we know and love and care about. Now, if I could just borrow that idea for just a minute and apply it to God, the picture that God carries with him of you is not what you look like today. But the picture God has of you is what you can be in Christ Jesus. If you could just see in you what he sees in you, you'd see a family likeness. You'd be amazed at how much like Jesus you look like. If you could just see what he sees in you and what you could be if you'd let him do his work in you. If you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians for just a moment, we're going to work our way toward the back of the New Testament. Stop off in 2 Corinthians 3 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." You see, it is God's desire that he might transform us into his likeness with ever increasing glory. That the more we submit ourselves to him and his work in us, the more we're going to come to look like Jesus. I've got to tell you, the process of renewal is not a fun experience. When the sanding begins and that laborious process starts, of making something old into something new, that's not a real pleasant experience, and neither is it pleasant spiritually for God to do His work in us. You see, we've been going through life collecting all this junk and all this gunk because of our sin. And God has to begin the process by, first of all, stripping away all of that gunk and all that junk and all those bad habits and bad attitudes. He begins to strip away the old so that He can put in the new that looks like Him. Go with me a couple of books over to the book of Ephesians. And stop off at chapter 4 for just a moment. Ephesians 4. Let's start at verse 22. Paul says, now you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, created to be what? Like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, God wants to make us new. He's got, first of all, to strip away the old. And then He begins putting in the new. And the qualities that He puts into us are the qualities that make us look like Jesus Christ. Turn over a couple more books to the book of Colossians. And we'll stop off there for a minute. Colossians 3. Let's begin in verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Again, the idea of taking off the old and putting on the new and being renewed, that is a phrase that describes a present work in progress. When you drive down the road, it says, under construction. That is exactly what God has put over our lives. We are under construction. We are a work in progress. And God is in process of renewing us by the power of His Spirit. He is in process of making us new and putting into us the qualities that make us look like Jesus. When I was in the third grade, they started teaching us how to write cursive. You remember the big chief tablets, you know, those of you who are similar, close to my age, you remember the big chief tablets and the number two pencils, you know, and we started writing cursive. And remember the shotgun school rooms, you know, and the blackboard was up at the front. And up at the front, the teacher would go up there, and she'd start trying to teach us, here is how you do an A in cursive, you know. And so she'd do the deal on the board. She'd say, okay, now I want you to practice that. Now, up above the blackboard was a pattern. And it had every letter in the alphabet written in cursive, both the capital letters and the lowercase letters, side by side, A through Z. You remember those patterns up there? Well, if you wanted to learn to write in cursive, you found yourself looking up at the pattern and then trying to imitate that on paper. You would look at the pattern. Now, I didn't look next to me at Billy's desk because Billy didn't do half of the stuff right anyway. I didn't want to see what Billy was writing. I wanted to look to the pattern. And if I would look at the pattern and I would follow what the pattern did, I knew I could learn how to write cursive. Folks, that is exactly the way you operate spiritually. You must look to the pattern. You remember how Hebrews 12 begins? As you're turning over there, let me remind you. Hebrews writer's just come out of this great, great faith chapter in chapter 11. And he begins chapter 12 by saying, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and every sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now here's what verse 2 says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Some versions say the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Some versions say the author and perfecter of our faith. Some versions say the author and finisher of our faith. who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And the Hebrews writer is trying to say to us, if you want to get it right in life, you look to the pattern and you imitate what the pattern does. You let the pattern be at work in your life. Now, God knows I can't do that by myself. And so what does he do? He gives me the Holy Spirit to help me. He indwells me. He lives in me. He stands alongside me. He intercedes for me. He leads me. He guides me. He empowers me to live a life I couldn't live apart from him. And so if I want to know how to handle attack, if someone is attacking me in my life, and I want to know how to handle attack, I look to the pattern, and I see how Jesus handled attack. And then by the power of the Spirit, I begin to handle attack the way Jesus did. If I want to know how Jesus handled temptation, I mean, if I want to know how to handle temptation in my life, I look to how Jesus handled temptation. I look to the pattern. And then by the power of the Spirit in me, I began to handle temptation the way Jesus did. You see, you look to the pattern, and then by the power of God at work in you, you let him do his work in you. And you become transformed over a period of time to look just like him. Now, I've got to tell you that work will never be finished in me as long as I'm in this body. Never be completed work. There's going to be this sign over my life that says under construction the whole time I'm alive. God working in me. But there's a promise I live by in 1 John 3 that I want to share with you this morning. It's a promise that one day that work is going to be perfected in me. And here's how John reminds us and gives us that promise. It's in 1 John 3, verse 2. Here's what he says. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. Would you just let that phrase sink in a minute? Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And he goes on to say, and we don't know yet what we'll be because it hasn't yet been made known. Here comes the promise. Listen. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I'm going to be a work in progress all my life. But I know that there is a moment coming in the twinkling of an eye when he comes. I'm going to be changed to be exactly like him. Because I see him as he is. You say, Ronnie, I've got a big question about all this. If God is about the business of transforming me into his likeness, why do I look so much like me? I mean, if God is about the business of changing me to look like Jesus, why is it I still look so much like me? That's a good question. Let me say two things to you. Number one, remember this. God is not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you. The song we train our children to sing, we ought to take some of those children's songs and let that truth hit us right in the square in the heart. Remember that little song we used to teach the children to sing and still do probably? He's still working on me. He's still working on me. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. If you come by in a few days and see this, and it's a work in progress, you may not be too impressed. You know what? When you look in your spiritual mirror, you may not be too impressed with what you see. But you need to remind yourself you are still under construction. God's not finished with you yet. You just wait to see what God will do in you. And the second thing I'd say to you is this. Maybe if you want to be transformed in his likeness, maybe what you need to do is drop your nets. You know, for those guys to be remade into the image of Jesus and become fishers of men, the first thing they had to do was drop their nets. Now, how silly would Simon Peter have looked dragging that net all over Palestine with him? You know, what would he have drug up in that net? You know, rocks and, you know, tumbleweeds and varmints and all kinds of stuff. How silly would he have looked dragging that net all over Palestine following in Jesus' footsteps? No, you see, the first thing Simon Peter had to do was drop the nets. And when they stopped holding on to what had been and started holding on to what could be, Jesus began to make a difference in their lives. And I'd say to you this morning that many of you are still dragging your nets. And maybe this morning it's time for you to drop the nets and quit holding on to the way life used to be and the way life has been, and start holding on to the way life can be by the power of God. What nets do you need to drop this morning? Have you thought about maybe some of the nets you need to drop? How about guilt? You know, He went to the cross to die not only to take away your sin, but to take away your guilt. And there's some of you who are still dragging that old net of guilt behind you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you just keep carrying that net of guilt. Maybe this morning, you need to drop it at the cross and leave it there. Bad habits, addictions, pornography, poisoning relationships, filthy language, lying, gossip. Maybe you need to just drop the nets this morning and quit doing life the way you've always done and cling to the life that can be yours as God remakes you in His image. Self-righteousness? Maybe you ought to drop the net this morning. Bitterness? Resentment? Has someone hurt you very, very deeply and you've just been holding on to that thing and dragging that net every day through life? You look around and there's that net full of all that bitterness and resentment. Maybe this morning you ought to just drop the net and start following Him and let Him renew you and remake you. And before too long, someone might say to you, "You know something? It feels almost blasphemous to say this, but you remind me of Jesus." Let's pray again. Father God, I know Your Spirit is at work even in this moment, convicting and driving home the truth of Your Word and Your love. Father, I pray there'll be some net dropping going on this morning. But many of us might drop those old habits, and those bad attitudes, the addictions, the sins. But we'll drop our nets and follow after Jesus. Father, we indeed want to look like Him. And sometimes as we look in the mirror of our own lives, we know we don't look at all like Him. But oh God, give us the desire. Help us to want to look like Him. And help us to drop our nets and submit ourselves to You, that You might do in us what we could never do for ourselves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe this morning, you need to drop a net publicly. Maybe you've dropped those nets two or three times in your life only to go back and pick them up again. Maybe this morning you need to say to a church, "Would you all help me in this? Would you help me drop this net and follow Him? Would you help me be more submissive to what He wants me to do?" This morning, as the Spirit of God convicts, as the invitation of God is extended, if you need to respond in some public way, we not only encourage that, we await that we might help you in any way we can. Would you come to Him right now while we stand together and sing?
Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of His treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
A couple of weeks ago, following a series that I did called Quail Springs 101, we passed out all these blue sheets and asked that everybody who wants to consider themselves members of the Quail Springs family, having gone through that series, you might fill this out and turn it in. And we said that morning, take it home with you. We envision families sitting around tables and filling this out and bringing it back. And if you forget to bring it back, we'll make sure that you have another opportunity to get some. So if you failed to bring it back and haven't yet turned it in, we have got these available for you to take and fill those out. And we would love for you to do that. Again, we've got information on here we didn't even know to ask about 25 years ago, you know, when maybe you placed membership 25 years ago. And those of you who desire to be new members, there's a place on this form where you can check current member or placing membership today. And we'd like for you to fill that out. There are boxes that you can drop these in as you go out, give it to one of the elders or to one of the staff members, to me, and we'll make sure that it gets in the right place, but we'd love to have these back. This past week, we had a number of those forms come in, and we have many, many new members to introduce to our church family, and we rejoice in that. I'm going to ask these, we have contacted these folks, and we're going to introduce them this morning. As they stand, if you will just kind of hold your appreciation of that till the end, until they're all standing, that'd be helpful. And then we will say how grateful we are that they've come. And one of our shepherds will lead us in a word of prayer. Tom Gooch will lead us in a word of prayer as we lift these up. Dan and Mary Jo Archer. Dan and Mary Jo are right there. Lynn and Iris Brooks. Lynn and Iris are sitting right behind them. They have placed membership from the greatest distance. They're here every Sunday. They live in Ponca City. And they drive every Sunday to be a part of this church family. Mary Burdan. Mary is right here. Stacy Cleveland. Stacy is right over here. Scott and Brenda Cornelius. Scott and Brenda are right there. Jay and Christy DeGeer. Jay and Christy are right here. Jill Freitas. Did somebody see Jill stand and I missed her? Jill's not here this morning, okay? Kurt and Carol Parker. Right here in this section, Kurt and Carol. Sherry Parker. Sherry is right back there on that same section in the back. Billy Reams. Nope, that's Jack. Billy didn't. Jim and Linda Stewart. Jim and Linda are right here in this section. Justin and Rebecca Valentine. Right there in the same section. Jan Welch. Jan is right here in this section as well. Welcome back, Jan. We miss you. We're glad you're back. And Craig Westbrook. Right here in this section. Isn't that great to have all these new members of the family? Thank you. In addition to that, we've had the privilege this Wednesday night of baptizing Phil Thompson into Christ. Phil has been here for many, many years and grew up in a tradition that was different from our own and was sprinkled as a child. And after studying and talking and contemplating that, and many have been praying for him this past Wednesday night, Phil was baptized into Christ. He left Thursday for Banff, Canada. And I was hot aim, he didn't take me with him. But we rejoice with Phil and Barbara in his decision. We are so grateful for the way God has blessed us and continues to bless us. And with new members come responsibility to love these folks and include them in our prayers and in our plans. And we want to do that and make them feel welcome at this place. So one of our shepherds, Tom Gooch, will lead us in a word of prayer and thanksgiving as God does His work among all of these new ones and among us.
Let us bow together, please. Holy Father, You are so good to us. And we've had the evidence here today of so many that have wanted to throw in their lot to meet and to serve and to live with this family that meets here at Quail Springs. We thank You, Lord, for the glue that binds us all together, and that's the love that Jesus showed us. We pray, Lord, that as brothers and sisters, that first of all, we will show love to one another, respect, and most of all, just fellowship. That we will know that we are there for each other, no matter what comes our way. We appreciate, Lord, bringing these folks our way, and we pray that we may grow closer to You as a result. We just pray for Your wisdom, for Your strength in handling all of the challenges that come our way in this life. We thank You, Lord, for the decision that Phil made this last Wednesday night. We just thank You for that good sermon that we had several weeks ago on baptism that started that process. And Lord, undoubtedly, we have more in this auditorium that may be troubled with the way that they received You. And just pray, Lord, that if that is not right, that they will be moved to do what is right. And we pray, Lord, that that will be very clear. We pray, Lord, for everyone in this room as we go forward through this new week, that even though we know who we are, that we will come out of this week looking more like You than we go into it. We just pray for Your spirit, for Your character, for the completeness that was shown in Jesus' life. Help us to be complete person, and that we may achieve, as we draw nearer to eternity, that we will draw to that person that was designed in Your mind before creation. Just pray that that will be fulfilled and that we will function as You designed us to function in this earth. We just want to thank You, Lord, for all of these new people that have come our way. And we especially thank You, Lord, for those that demonstrate their faithfulness and their strength and their zeal by driving so far. We pray, Lord, for each and every one of us to protect us and to hold us secure, because we know the devil is alive and well and is going to attack us the more zeal that we show for You, and help us to always be prepared. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We sang a while earlier asking the Lord to fill us with desire to follow Him as we try to be like Him this week. And so we'll close this morning by asking Him to light the fire in our heart so that we can do that this week. Let's stand, please.
I stand to praise You, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is hungry, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, then the flame make me whole. Lord, You know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel Your arms around me as the power of Your healing begins. You breathe new life right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul, and the flame make me whole. Lord, You know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. Light the fire. fire in my